Hello, I'm Jacob Kruger, and this is the Write Your Screenplay podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about Beef, which is a fabulous limited series created by Lee Sung-jin. We're going to be using Beef to explore two related and extremely valuable concepts for screenwriters, game and escalation. Now, game is actually a concept that we're taking from improv, right? So normally when we think about game, we think about game as like the funny thing in the scene, right? And if you're doing something funny, they teach you in improv, well, do it again, right? And that becomes the game. And escalation means you don't just want to do it exactly the same again. You want to do it in a slightly different way that escalates it, right? You want to keep on building up, 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 up. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, game, that's like a comedy thing. Sure, maybe you need game if you're writing a sitcom, or maybe you need game if you're doing a sketch, or maybe you need game if you're doing an improv show, but do you really need game? What if I'm writing a drama? What if I'm doing a limited series like Beef that mixes comedic and dramatic elements? What if I'm doing a historical epic? Do I still need game? Does game matter outside of comedy? And what I'd like to suggest to you is that dramas have game too, and that game is hugely enjoyable to watch, but game is also part of the way that we, the audience, tell ourselves the story of who characters are, of what's really happening in this movie, in this show, in this limited series, of how the character is changing or not changing, and how the character is relating to other characters. And so game and structure are actually connected. And when you become a master of game, you also become a master of structure. When you become a master of escalation, you also become a master of structure. So we are going to be talking about all that and more in this podcast. Now, before we get rocking, there's some stuff I want to talk to you about that is coming up at the studio that is hugely valuable for you. So if you are enjoying this podcast, come check us out live every Thursday night for free. We have a wonderful class with hundreds of writers from all throughout the world called Thursday Night Writes. So I'd like to invite you, please come join our community, writeyourscreenplay.com/Thursday. Become part of Thursday Night Writes. You get to study with me and top members from my faculty from the comfort of your own home, 7 to 8 Eastern time every single Thursday. So don't just stop at the podcast. Let the podcast just be the beginning, and come join our community. And there you can learn about all our other wonderful programs and the wonderful mentors who can guide you throughout your screenwriting career. So now we're going to get started with Beef. And first, I want to mention there will be a couple of spoilers, but I will warn you way in advance. We are mostly going to talk about the way that the pilot is structured so that we can start to understand how game works and how escalation works. We're going to talk in general terms about how the entire structure of the piece works. So yes, you're going to learn the things that build out of the pilot and how to build game for your own show or your own movie or your own season or your own series, right? We're going to learn all that, but I'm not going to get into spoiling specific plot until the end, and I will let you know before I do it. Now, we talked about the idea that game is a concept taken from improv. And if you are a screenwriter, if you've taken any of our classes, you know that we integrate a lot of concepts from improvisation into screenwriting. Because in fact, what we are actually doing as screenwriters is we are improvising on the page. We are faced, just like an improv troupe, we are faced with a blank page. We might have a sense of who our characters are, but we also might not. We might just have, like an improv troupe, a suggestion, maybe just a word, maybe just an idea, maybe just a premise, maybe just a hook, maybe just an image that came into our minds, right? We have the barest sense, and even if we've done a whole outline and we think we know who our characters are, of course, that's not true. We don't know who our characters are. Just like it doesn't matter how much you read about someone's internet dating profile, you don't know who they are until you start spending time with them. And until you start to understand the game between you and the escalation in your relationship, right? You don't understand that until you start to understand who they are, right? And at first, people, just like characters, they sometimes don't show up on the page and go, da-da, here I am, right? Instead, they might show up and be like, I'm so normal, I'm really boring, I'm really safe, right? Or they might show up wearing a fabulous mask, right? This is my mask. This is who I pretend to be, right? Or they might show up and start wearing a terrible mask, right? I'm a terrible person. I'm awful, right? And it's only after you get to know them that you realize, wow, that's a mask, that actually there's somebody soft and beautiful underneath that, right? So just like people, characters don't always show up exactly who they are. And relationships don't exactly show up exactly who they are, right? And oftentimes, at the beginning of our writing, right, our writing can be kind of flat, right? Because we haven't found the characters yet, and because we haven't found the characters, we haven't found the game. So we can think of ourselves like improvisers. We're showing up, they show up on a blank stage, we show up on a blank page. And the way improvisers start is a concept called giving gifts, right? Now, everybody knows the concept yes and. We've talked about yes and on the podcast. We'll talk about it again because it's actually a much more complicated concept than it sounds. It takes years to really learn how to yes and. But we start with the concept of giving gifts, meaning you want to share with your partner something about them or something about your feelings about them, right? That allows them to respond in a cool way that gets you out of normal, right? That starts to tear off the mask or the facade, right? And starts to reveal the actual character underneath. And the same thing is true on the page, right? You want your characters to talk to each other and about each other. Now, if you've ever been part of an inexperienced improv troupe, the mistake they always make is at the beginning, right? The mistake that inexperienced improv troupes always make is at the beginning, which is you're in the scenes at the beginning and you don't know who your characters are and you don't know what the game is and you don't know what the escalation is and you don't know what the hell is going on. And it feels like death. You feel like the scene's not going anywhere. Maybe you're not even getting laughs yet. You don't know what is happening. And what you're looking for is the game. You're looking for that one weird thing, that one weird pattern that you're going to play out again and again and again, and that you're going to build upon and escalate. The mistake that inexperienced improv troupes make is those early scenes when you see that you haven't found it yet, right? The way you edit an improv scene is just run across the stage, and always some inexperienced person runs across the stage before anything has a chance to actually manifest, before you actually learn what is this scene about, what's actually happening here, what's the game. And the truth is, writers make exactly the same mistake, right? You've probably made this mistake. You sit down to write, and it's not one of those days when the muse is coming. And just like, hey, how you doing? Good, good. How's your day? Oh, my day's not bad, right? And you end up in these scenes, right? And you maybe write for 10 minutes and you're like, oh, this sucks. This is boring. Nothing is happening. And you have the urge to edit, right? You have the urge, and screenwriters often the urge is like, I'm just going to give up on writing today. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. I can't, there's nothing here. I can't connect to anything, right? We want to just give up, right? Or maybe we like drop it and try another scene, right? Or maybe we try to make something crazy happen, right? Because we're so afraid just to hang out with our characters. But if you watch really experienced improv troupes, they allow those early scenes to keep playing out. They allow those early scenes, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not that exciting, even if it's not that funny, even if it's not that dramatic, even if it's not happening yet, they allow those first scenes to play out until they find the game, right? And I'm going to say this again. Game is a really complicated concept, right? In a masterclass, we might spend a whole day on game. But on the simplest level, right, game is that one weird thing, that one fun interaction that's going to set the stage for what the characters are and what their dynamic is, right? And once we understand the game, all of writing becomes so easy, just like all of improv becomes so easy. Even if the game isn't cool yet, if you keep doing it and keep escalating it, meaning every time you do that game, you make it one step bigger, 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 what starts to happen is we, the audience, start to tell ourselves the story of what's going to happen. We start to go, no, 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 no. Oh, God, 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 don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Or yes, 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 right? We start to actually predict what's happening. And then you, as the writer, get these wonderful opportunities to both give the audience what they want and also surprise in the way that you give it. So game is that one weird thing in the character, in the interaction that you're going to do again and again and again. Escalation means every time it happens, you're never going to let air out of the balloon. You're always going to blow the balloon up a little bit bigger, right? And there are lots of different ways to do that. There are lots of variations. It just means you're never going to have exactly the same valence, exactly the same feeling, right? And you're never going to follow a really good thing with a less good thing, or a really hilarious thing with a slightly less funny thing. And you're never going to follow a more destructive thing with a less destructive thing, right? You're always going to escalate. The balloon just keeps on getting bigger. You never want to let air out of the balloon. So now let's talk about how this actually works in Beef. It works from the very first scene, right? So we're starting out and we're meeting Danny Cho, right? Danny Cho is played by Steven Yeun in Beef. And he's at a hardware store. And he's returning, or he's trying to return, a crap load of barbecue grills. Now, we have no idea why, right? Just like an improv troupe, we're learning about Danny in this moment. We don't know why, but we know that, and we know we already have that little weird thing, right? He's trying to return these grills. And he's being given a really hard time because what we learn is this is a game that Danny plays all the time, that he keeps on buying and returning grills again and again and again. Now, again, there's no exposition for the audience. We don't know why he's doing it. We don't know what it means. We just know that he's doing it. And that intrigues us. And we watch Danny make a choice that's different from every other time he's returned the grills, which is this time he gives up and he just takes those grills back with him, sticks them back in his truck. Now, this is the entire ordinary world. This is the only part of the entire limited series Beef that we're going to see what Danny's life was like before the show started, right? It's just this little glimpse, but it's a little game. We know there's something going on with these girls. And I'm not going to spoil it for you yet. I'll warn you before I do, but those girls are going to come back. We're going to play the grill game again in different ways that escalate and that actually end up giving us tremendous insight into Danny's character, but not only that, into the why of what happens next. So Danny is about to pull out of the hardware store. He's super pissed off. He's got a bunch of grills that he doesn't want. He's got a beef with the dude at the hardware store who wouldn't let him return them this time. He's pissed off at himself for giving up. He's pissed off at the dude for not letting him return them. He's pissed off for a bunch of reasons we don't even know. And he's about to pull out. and a woman driving by in an SUV cuts him off and flips him the bird. And this is the beginning of the game between Amy and Danny that's going to escalate and escalate and escalate. This is the beginning of the beef. Danny's about to pull off. Amy lays on her horn and then flips him the bird. Now, anybody else in the world would go, oh, that sucks. But that's not what Danny does. What Danny does is he chases her. And we have this wild road rage action sequence that launches us into the journey of beef. And it all starts because Danny, yes, ends Amy's game. She's going to flip me off. I'm going to flip her off. She's going to play on her horn. I'm going to chase her. We get this crazy high-speed chase between these two crazy people, neither of whom can back down from their beef. And that is the game. And what starts as just a high-speed road rage chase is going to escalate and escalate and escalate and escalate episode after episode after episode after episode. We are going to see the extent to which these characters are willing to go to pursue their beef. And that is the game. And what's beautiful is that game plays out comedically, but it also plays out dramatically because ultimately that game is going to let us into who these characters are, into why these characters are, into how these characters are changing. Because what's actually going to develop over the course of the series is a relationship between these two enemies, right? On one level, beef is just Hatfields and McCoys, right? But nobody actually wants to just watch characters fight. I said at the beginning of this podcast that at the beginning of every scene, you want your characters just to talk to each other about each other, do to each other about each other, right? You want your characters to get vulnerable because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build a relationship and you're trying to figure out the game of that relationship. And what matters is not the big fights. That is just part of the game. What matters is the way that that escalation of the game starts to tie these people together. What matters is the way that they end up infiltrating each other's families, the way that it grows and grows and grows, and the way that it is going to bond them in a really dysfunctional, messed up way, the way it's going to destroy them, and also the surprising way it's going to actually fuse their lives together. And so this is the cool thing about game. You might just start off and you're just repeating a pattern and outdoing it and having a good time. But soon you're going to start to find variations on that game. So I am going to get into some spoilers here because what's going to end up happening over the course of beef, right? We're going to watch this game grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And it's going to culminate in the final episode in a repeat of the same game. Literally the same game that we saw at the very beginning. Now, at this point, these characters have gone through hell. People have died. Houses have been burned down. Families have been destroyed. Hostages have been taken. There's been a shootout. It has gone to crazy extremes. At this point, both characters have escaped a really crazy hostage situation that's resulted in multiple deaths. She is now driving her fancy-ass car because Amy has gone from a successful small business owner to having her plants, her brand, and every Forster's in the world, right? She's gone big. And she's now driving a much bigger SUV. And Danny, who's also gone big in his own way, he's stolen a giant Hummer from Amy's boss, Jordan. who at this point has died in a really hilarious and awful scene. And they are both on the run, and they both have an opportunity to escape, just like that very first scene. And instead of escaping, what do? They flip each other off again. And they do the same thing they did in the first episode where they're driving through a garden, except now they are driving through the mountains. By the time it's over, the giant SUVs will both have tumbled down a cliff. Right? You can see the writers are literally playing the exact same game. They've circled back to this game again and again and again. Her SUV, his truck. Her SUV, his truck. Bigger, bigger, bigger. Her business, his business. Her business, his business. Escalation, escalation, escalation. And they've come full circle and they are still playing the same game, right? In fact, the game of the writer is just you have to keep giving Danny and Amy easy ways out of this. Just like Breaking Bad, give Walter White easy ways out of this and let them keep holding on to their beef. So things can escalate and escalate and escalate. We come full circle. And coming full circle and having crashed and being trapped out in the middle of the wilderness, and now I'm going to get into some serious spoilers. Ultimately, what we've been watching over the course of this movie is a relationship. And we're starting to realize in a different world, Danny and George, Amy's husband, would probably be friends. What we're starting to realize is these two characters that seem so different with their giant beef between them, they're actually the same character. They're actually exactly alike. And by the time it's over, they'll have gone on a giant drug trip that will have taught them the thing that we already realized. Because see, we, as the audience, we are part of the game. We are telling ourselves a third story. Right? There's Amy's story and the story she's telling herself and her game. And there's Danny's story and the story he's telling himself and his game. But there's a third story, which is the story that we are telling ourselves. And this is the wonderful thing about game. Game is how we as screenwriters make things both surprising and inevitable. Game is how we escalate and escalate and find variation after variation after variation until the thing happens that the audience didn't see coming, but that they know they should have. So game, if you've studied structure with me, you know that there's primary structure and secondary structure. Primary structure being the story of the character's journey, how the character tells themselves the story of the show, the movie, the limited series. Right? Danny's story. I was just an innocent, good guy, contractor, trying to return a bunch of barbecues, and this crazy woman flipped me off, and she pushed it too far, and she wouldn't let it go, and I had to do something. And Amy's story. I am just a successful businesswoman balancing a lot of stress, and this maniac chased me, and I was not going to let that go. I'm not going to be treated that way, right? And he just kept escalating and escalating. He wouldn't let it go, right? He kept violating the sanctity of my life, right? Both of these characters have the same story. But we're telling ourselves a third story, which is, my God, they're kind of similar. My God, Amy and Paul, Danny's cousin, they kind of have a thing. They actually connect. Oh, wow. Actually, Danny and George, Amy's husband, they kind of connect. Holy crap. Amy and Danny, they're kind of making all the same decisions. They're like almost like peas in a pod. They're almost exactly alike. And of course, by the time we're at the end of their drug trip and their crazy experience, Amy and Danny are together as they were always meant to be. You see, we're not just using game to play patterns. We're using game to build relationships. We're using game to build inevitability and surprise at the same time. We're using game to build structure and journey. So next time you have the urge to step away from one of your scenes, I want you to think about beef. I want you to think about game. I want you to stop looking for what's wrong or what's boring. And I want you to keep writing until you find that fun, unusual thing. It might be a dark thing. It might be a sad thing. It might be a dramatic thing. It might be a horror thing. But I want you to find that fun thing, that character thing that happens between these two people. And then I want you to escalate it and escalate it and escalate it. And ask yourself, what relationship does that build? What journey does that build? What structure does that build between these two characters? All of writing is relationships, just like all of life is relationships. We are what we do in relation to other people. And in this way, we are all playing games all the time. I'm not talking about playing games manipulating people. I'm talking about playing the game of falling into our weird, quirky patterns that both create transcendence and that drive us crazy, that both help us and destroy us, that keep us stuck and help us change. And you will soon start to realize that it's your game. It's who you are and how you are and the patterns you play out and the patterns you break with other people that actually creates the change, right? And in fact, we can see this with Danny. So we start off and he's just a weird guy returning a bunch of grills. Why is he doing it? I don't know. Maybe the guy likes hibachis. But we're going to come back to that game. We're going to see Danny setting all of those grills filled with coals on fire in his apartment. And we're going to realize, oh, Danny was trying to kill himself. And we're going to realize, oh, Danny was actually choosing life over death that day that he got cut off. We're going to come to realize, oh, when that guy didn't allow him to return the grills, it was like signing a death certificate for him. It was like not allowing him to live. And suddenly we have a whole other subtext to why this beef started in the first place. And in fact, all the way on the other side, we're going to play the game of fire. By the time this thing is over, there's going to be a huge fire that destroys the thing Danny loves more than anything. We're going to play that game again. And when we get all the way to the end, it's actually going to be that little tiny game of the charcoal grills, right? Which is so much less exciting than the game of flipping him off and the chase that seems like so small, that seems kind of quiet, like, okay, a little quirky thing, that little taste of normal. It's actually that little weird thing that's going to be the thing that Danny shares with Amy that humanizes him for her, that allows her to see him in a completely different way, that allows her to reframe the entire story of their relationship from the very beginning, and that opens the door to where these two crazy people are actually going to end up together. I hope that you're enjoying this podcast and you're getting a lot out of it. If you are, please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and please write us a 5-star review. You are our marketing. You are what keep us alive. So we'll see you next episode and happy writing.